With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Every game is important.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and T-shirts.
That's why Isaac and Suk are ready to predict every NFL game's outcome with their usual laser-like accuracy.
They go so deep.
Football's football.
This is the Fans Pro Football Challenge with Isaac and Suk. Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com. The Pro Football Challenge on 1080.
Got that meat.
The Fan.
All right, we each bring three picks to the table against the spread. Thursdays at 4, we are going off the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app lines for the NFL games. So far this season, the Big Zucchini has won 5 of 6.
Feeling pretty good.
5-1. You had winners on Seattle and Arizona last week. But Buffalo was a loss.
Freaking Miami Dolphins with your garbage backdoor cover.
I am 4-2. I had two losers in Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but I won the Giants game. And then Mike Lynch is out of the gate 2-4. Last year's champion off to a bit of a slow start.
I got hit by a backdoor cover again for the Panthers again.
Yeah.
That late touchdown run by Fournette, the 60-yard one, I had +9.5, and they lost by 14. Stupid.
So he had the Cowboys and the Panthers as losses and had the Giants as a winner. So Mike gets to go first.
All right. Well, my first pick, I'm going to go a little bit against the grain here, and I'm going to go with teams that have been a little bit disappointing, but I think are going to have a bounce back game this week. My first pick is going to be New Orleans -3. The Saints looked absolutely dreadful this last week when we watched them, and a lot of people now low on the Saints and low on Drew Brees, and you should probably be low on Drew Brees because he looks like he's aging. The Packers have started off the year really, really well. They're 2-0, but here's the catch. They've played two dreadful pass defenses in the Vikings and the Lions. The Saints actually have a good pass defense, and it's going to be in New Orleans. I think the Saints are ready to bounce back here. They're going to run all over Green Bay. Kamara looked great last week, both catching the ball without Michael Thomas on the field and running the football. I'm going to take the Saints to win. I'm going to take New Orleans -3 against Green Bay.
Okay, interesting. My first pick, I will go with the New York Giants getting 4. Let's see. Let's double check here.
4 or 4.5, depending on where you grab it.
Well, we're going off the Oregon Lottery, so we're going to go 4.5. They are +4.5. They are hosting the San Francisco 49ers. The Giants defense is actually 5th in the league. They give up 326 yards per game. I think that in this game, they'll be able to key on the run and make Nick Mullins beat them. Not that Nick Mullins is horrible. But look, he's a backup to Jimmy Garoppolo. It doesn't give me much confidence. And where is the Niners pass rush now with all the injuries? If they can't get to Daniel Jones, he will pick their secondary apart, even without Saquon Barkley. Look, San Francisco's had a lot of drama out on the East Coast. They don't want to play on that field again. Giants need a win. I'm going to take the Giants as a home underdog with an actual decent defense.
I will only do this simply because it is my big play of the week. This is my...
Jacksonville.
This is my big one, and I am going to go with you on this. We've doubled up once in a while. I normally don't do this.
That's okay.
This is the best play of the week. I think there is tremendous value in the Giants. With the amount of injuries that
that's twice now that I was also wanting to double up because I love that pick, and it's like, okay.
I wouldn't do it if this was just
we can double this year.
Yeah, I was gonna
it's
say
a new rule.
I wouldn't do this
implemented by me.
I wouldn't
can
do it if it's just a normal like whatever.
I kind of want this to be my other pick.
Don't
but
be
I,
an ass, Mike.
I think the Giants can win this outright. I really do. And I don't think the Niners want anything to do with having to go back on the road. And I think they're going to play this real conservative. And I like Daniel Jones. And if you look at the Giants, they've been in their games. They're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but they're hanging around in there. And if Daniel Jones has time, which he usually doesn't, but against this makeshift defensive line, he just may. I like the Giants here to keep this thing close, and I think they may win the damn thing outright.
Well, with my second pick, I'm taking the Giants plus 4.5.
Well, that's no fun.
Mike,
but
you
okay.
Weasel.
I loved the game, and Rob took it, and I'm like, fine, I won't take it. And then Sook just jumps all over him, like, come on.
I feel like you've just jinxed it.
Yeah. Way to go, Mike.
We were all on it,
last time we were all on it, week one, we got it right.
Niners are going to win 31-0.
It was Cardinals, what, plus 7 week one? We all wanted to take it.
Nick Mullins is going to throw for 400 yards.
It doesn't make for a great segment, but we're going to let Mike have it.
Mike, you boob.
You bitch.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, that means it's my turn. Let's go with New England, -6 against Las Vegas. The Raiders lost Richie Incognito this week. It means they are without their top two offensive linemen. And while the Patriots did get carved up by Russell Wilson, they did a pretty good job against the run in the Seattle game. Derek Carr is not Russell Wilson. I think New England comes back home and keeps the Raiders' offense in check. The Raiders are on a short week. They're coming off a very high, you know, like the big high of a big win.
Yep.
I think it's a letdown spot to go out to New England against a great coach like Bill Belichick, and those guys are pissed off after coming within a yard of winning on the road. So I think New England -6 is good value. I'm going to take the Patriots.
I'm going to go up north here with my Minnesota Vikings being 0-2, needing a desperate win, and they're not going to get it. I think Minnesota's bad. And I mean bad with a capital B. And Zimmer even said as much. Their defense is warmed over garbage. And I actually like Tennessee. I think Tennessee is the team that we thought was going to come back down to earth. Tannehill has been very solid. Derrick Henry really hasn't even gotten going that much here in these first two games. But against this Minnesota defense, I think he's going to be just fine. It's only 2.5. So I'm going to go ahead and lay that and say that this is kind of just, this is the Vikings. Everyone keeps saying, what's wrong with Minnesota? When are they going to turn around? What's wrong is they're not good. And Kirk Cousins can't carry them, and there's too many defections on that defense and injury. Give me Tennessee here to win and go to 3-0 and bury the Vikings at 0-3.
My final pick is going to be Atlanta -3 against the Chicago Bears. The Bears are 2-0, but the Bears have wins over the Lions, who should have won the game, Detroit, I mean, because they had the drop touchdown catch in the end zone. And the Giants, who were charging late in that game and probably should have beaten the Bears as well based on how the end of that game was going. So they're 2-0, and I think people are overthinking this. The Falcons are 0-2, and I think people are overthinking this, although Julio Jones' injury might be a bit of a worry for me. Atlanta's a better team than the Bears are. I think it's just that simple. They're both similar-ish teams, but Atlanta's better, and they're at home, -3. I'll take the Falcons.
Okay, I'm going to go with Dallas, +6. They are in Seattle. I have found that on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, since we've got a bunch of homers here, Seahawks lines are always higher in favor of the Seahawks.
Sure.
this one, I think, at most books is 5 or 5.5, so I will gladly grab the 6. I think Dallas can win this game. I mean, both teams gave up a million to Atlanta. Both teams beat Atlanta. The Cowboys, with Dak and Zeke and 3 very good receivers, I think they're going to carve up and expose the Seattle defense. I also think they can control the ball and keep Russell Wilson on the sideline. So I think these teams are pretty similar, and there's no way this spread is 6 if it's in Dallas. So I think the line is wrong. I've got a close game here coming down to a field goal. I will gladly grab 6 points, Cowboys +6 in Seattle.
Remember, no one has given up more big plays this year, 10 or more yards, than your Seattle Seahawks, to kind of go along with your line of thinking there. I'm kind of on the fence here between 2. I was debating Pittsburgh. I really like Pittsburgh laying 4, but I'm going to go here against Mike just to put a little fly in the ointment, and I'm going to take Tom Brady and the Bucks going on the road, giving up 6. Denver's a mess, and Jeff Driscoll sucks, and Denver isn't any good. I think Tampa Bay rolls in there. They're getting it figured out. Brady and that offense will continue to get better. They are going to harass the hell out of Denver, and who is just so beat up. I think the Broncos season is practically done. Give me the Buccaneers here. I think they win by 10.
All right, there's your NFL challenge. Every Thursday at 4, I will be on the Giants +4.5, New England -6, Dallas +6, Sooks on the Giants +4.5, Tennessee -2.5, and Tampa Bay -6, and Lynch will be on New Orleans -3, Giants +4.5, and Atlanta -3. Up next, Beard versus Stash, 413 on The Fan.
I think it's really sad.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, coming up at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, we will carry Larry Scott, Michael Schill, and all the Pac-12 luminaries live as they announce what is expected to be the Pac-12 returning to play football beginning November 6th, 7-game season, culminating December 18th.
So the details that are coming out, and they're, everything's being leaked, and we'll get the official announcement, but it seems to be everything right now is, you said, November 6th, unified start, not the staggered start. Some teams said that they could be ready to play before that, but everyone will start on November 6th. There will be 6 regular season games. The 7th game will be the conference championship, and then it sounds like everyone else will play a staggered. So the second place team in the North will play the second place team in the South, third, fourth, and so on and so forth.
That's what the Big Ten's doing.
Yeah, that's what the Big Ten's doing. So, but they'll have more games than the 6. So basically, there'll only be there'll be 6, I guess, regular games. Then that 7th week, everyone will play crossovers. Then the championship game, and that would put you under the deadline for the college football playoff. College football playoff makes their announcement on the 19th. So in theory, if you had a 7-0 Pac-12 team, they could be considered. Now, what sort of weight that would carry between a 10 win team from the SEC or the Big 12 or a 7-win team from the Pac-12, who knows? But you are going to be eligible to be in that conversation. Also, there is no eligibility requirements for bowl games this year. So if you do end up having bowl games, you could have a 5-2 team go bowling. So if you're Oregon State, you could be 4-3 and find yourself in a bowl game.
Oh, so that means, you know what that means?
What?
So no win requirements whatsoever.
You could be a 0-win team, and if they thought you could sell tickets or you were a desirable team, you could end up in a bowl game.
So you know what this means?
What?
This means that it is possible that we will get the Kansas Coastal Carolina rematch we have all dreamed of.
Yes.
It could happen, folks.
I was hoping for Oregon State Kansas, which is what
that'd be great too.
I wanted to see.
Let's be great.
Yeah, let's be great.
No fan. So you mentioned if they sell tickets. According to Pete Thamel,
yeah,
there will be no fans at Pac-12 games this year. So if you're wondering, as a Duck or a Beaver, will they let a few people in?
Not going to be there.
Doesn't look like it. And this also, I mean, nobody really cares about this. Well, I mean, some people do. It's not the headline, but they also approved the college basketball return. So
yes,
college basketball begins November 25th. So they approved that. And so we get basically 7 weeks where at least 7 weeks in theory where, because the Mountain West and the MAC are coming back too, mm-hmm. where you get all of the leagues playing at once.
And by the way, the November 6th would be a 6-week ramp up, which seems to be the general consensus of the safest or maybe best practice. Some people wanted more. Some people wanted less. They settled on 6. Everyone gets 6 weeks. What'll be interesting to see is what they say about Boulder, because all the sources that are leaking this information right now haven't said anything about Colorado. Colorado right now can't practice for the next 2 weeks. So they seemingly would be at a bit of a disadvantage.
That's because the Boulder Council or whatever.
Yeah.
They said that all college kids can't gather any groupings.
And that would include.
That would include football.
Yeah.
So that's 2 weeks. So they probably won't start November 6th.
I don't know what they're going to do. Can they start that and just say, hey, we're, instead of having 6 weeks of prep time, we'll have 4. Maybe they're leaving that to Colorado saying, hey, can you guys get ready in 4 weeks? If the answer is yes, then you do it. And if not,
yeah, who cares about them anyway?
Well, but then you've got an unbalanced schedule because there is no bye weeks, right? I mean,
that's true.
This,
so unless, well, but you're not playing every. But look, you think every team, they're not all going to get in 7 games.
Probably not.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Houston's already had 5 games canceled. 5.
That's the best thing about this season so far is Houston literally has not played a single game and they've had 5 of them called off.
5. 5 different opponents.
Yeah. So, who knows what the hell's going on? Or could
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Is it possible that Colorado could go somewhere else to practice, or would the school view that as a slap in the face? Or they say, look, that's a cheesy way to get around the regulations.
I don't know about the school, but Boulder.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. We'll find out. I'm assuming at some point during the webinar here, the press conference, that old Larry will address it. But
the Lair Bear.
It sure sounds like the Lair Bear and everyone else says that the Pac-12 is back. November 6th, right. 7 games, away you go.
And if you're wondering how this happened, it's because they've got the daily rapid testing in place.
Yeah,
that's why they're doing this.
And someone asking, now with no fans, will the ADs finally give an answer on what will happen to our season ticket donations? My guess is yes. And I'll tell you right now that they are going to make the request of, could you please just give us that money because we don't have any money to give you back?
I'm guessing they're going to guilt you.
I'm guessing there'll be a lot of that. Hey, these are tough times and we all need to pull together. And by pull together, that means you just give us your money even though we can't supply you with tickets. You'll probably get like a foam finger though and like maybe like an autographed pennant. Maybe something like that. How about every fan gets to like call a play at some point?
Oh, wow. So there is no schedule yet, but they'll come up with that shortly.
Well, there's no schedule. And I saw that Softy was tweeting out that just now the TV partners are being brought in and they're trying to sort all this out too. You know, where the games are.
They're not going to put Oregon State, Colorado on primetime.
Got to figure all this
no
out.
No offense.
So I don't know so the seventh game will be the crossover, so that'll take care of itself. So you got six games. Are you just going to play North and South and then one, or is it just a free-for-all sort of thing?
I would think you would just play – you'd have to play everybody in your division.
Yeah, right? So you play those five teams, then you play one crossover game?
Yeah.
And
hopefully if you're Oregon or Oregon State, that crossover game is Arizona.
Yeah,
not Utah or USC.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, then that seventh week, away you go. I don't know. There's so much to see when this is all said and done. But it's going to be so weird to be debating like a 6-1 Pac-12 team versus like a 9-1 Big Ten or 9-1 SEC versus an 8-1 Big Ten.
Pac-12's not getting in.
I certainly think that you're behind the eight ball here a little bit.
But you never know. Okay, so Thursday night football is Jags, Dolphs.
Catch the fever?
Jags, Fins. And I was telling you that it's beard versus mustache.
Yes.
Because Ryan Fitzmagic has a sweet beard.
Hardest working beard in the game.
Gardner Minshew has a great mustache. So Fitzmagic said the following. See, it's getting heated. He said, I think the beard is a cooler look. Guys that grow mustaches a lot of times have patchy sides for their beard, so they just stick with the mustache.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
That's right. And somebody told Minshew that, and he said, I'll let mine speak for itself. I've shown I can grow a beard with no patchy sides, but, you know, I'm going to have to I'm going to have respect for my elders, especially when they're much, much elder. I'll be respectful.
Well, first off.
God, that's great.
This is fantastic.
Well played on both sides.
Minshew, by the way, 24. Fitzmagic, 37.
I'm looking to see here if Winshield has indeed grown a beard at some point. Like, I'm looking here and Okay, so
nice beard?
Legit. That's okay. A legit beard. Mm-hmm. It is not. Yeah, he's solid. So he certainly has that credential in his back pocket. He has proven that he can grow a beard. But I ask you this.
Yeah, that is a good beard.
Yeah, it's a good beard. But look at
nice and full.
Look at Fitzpatrick's beard, right?
Not gray.
If you shaved his beard and you just had the mustache.
Of course, he's 24.
His mustache dominates Gardner's.
Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a great. Yeah,
he's got like Kurt Russell, Hateful Eight sort of mustache. If he shaved that beard tomorrow and just left the same length of stash that Minshew has, his mustache, it's a first round TKO.
Do you know what he should do? He should show up tonight with that. He should do that for this game.
Just shave it and just have the mustache.
And then Gardner would be thrown off his game.
He would.
And only throw 5 touchdowns.
Just go stare him down. Because I'm sorry, when you can grow a beard like that, your mustache takes a backseat to no one.
God, Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard is so incredibly good.
It's amazing.
So good.
And he could grow any sort of, variation on a facial. He's got it. He's got the whole thing. He's a 5-tool player.
Yeah, like I don't even know.
Sideburns, mutton chops, the mustache, the beard, whatever.
Oh, he's got great hair too, but I don't know how he does it.
Who has the better beard? Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick or Charlie Blackmon?
No, Fitzpatrick.
Charlie Blackmon. His is kind of...
Blackmon's, is his too scraggly?
Blackmon's looks kind of gross.
I think Fitzpatrick takes good care of this beard.
Yeah. Blackmon looks like a homeless guy, and Fitzpatrick's is... And he Blackman doesn't grow the mustache with it either. It's kind of a weird.
Yeah, it's not even close.
No.
Okay. Just asking. I hadn't seen Blackman's in a while. I just knew it was a good beard.
Fitzpatrick's beard is really perfect. Like if you had me like try to pick that apart,
you can't.
The only thing I would say, you really can't. The only thing I would say is, well, no, I can't.
No.
I've got nothing bad to say about it. Not one thing.
Now, I will tell you that I was witness to one of the best beard I've ever seen in my life. And he was known for this in the NFL. Brett Kiesel was a defensive lineman with me at BYU, same recruiting class. And he went on and played like 13 years for the Steelers. And his nickname is Da Beard. And so if you just look up photos of his, and in the offseason at BYU, he would grow that out and then they'd make him cut it. But it's the same sort of thing. There are just guys that God blesses them.
Yes, on Brett Kiesel.
His beard. Just look up Brett Kiesel beard.
Now his.
That's like a Viking beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. His is more. It's like wavier.
Yeah.
And longer. I think
it's full bodied.
I feel like Fitzpatrick trims.
Yeah. His is manicured.
And this guy is just. Like several years of nothing.
Yeah, but it's not. Like he would grow, not to this length, but he, during the summer when we weren't in classes, within 3 months or so, he could grow not quite to where it's at right there, but fairly. It was the most amazing beard growth you've ever seen in your entire life. And he's bald, but he would go from clean shaven to, let's say, 70% of that in a summertime, and it would blow your mind.
How does he do that?
I don't know. You just sit there and you stare in envy.
Do you think he's a god?
Yeah, it's possible.
I do.
He's like if the apocalypse hits,
he just like grunts really hard and the beard appears.
You're looking for a man like that to lead you. Like when in doubt, you're like, who's in charge? Look at that guy's beard. He's in charge. He naturally takes control.
There's like a shimmery light behind him as you look at him.
I'd also like to point out that he's from a little place called Gray Bowl, Wyoming. Yes.
Of course he is.
Exactly. He's Gray Bowl, Wyoming. There he is.
Somebody said Fitzpatrick looks like a Civil War general.
I could see that.
He totally does.
But not like a bath. Like Andrew Luck had that going on because he had that stupid neck beard. Fitzpatrick's, that's a great war beard.
All right, Jags, Dolphins, you are fully prepared for Thursday Night Football. Up next in the news, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up at 5 o'clock, 25 minutes from now, we are going to go live to the Pac-12 webinar to announce their return. You'll get all the deets. You'll hear it right here on The Fan live as it happens. Right now, though, JC Babes, September 24, 2020, it is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is Kiss Day. So Kiss someone.
Like Kiss or no, the, not the, band. The band.
Not the band.
I hate
if it were Kiss Day, I wouldn't throw it in here.
Can I tell you
it's
that
not
just,
worthy of in the news.
This isn't a hot take. Kiss sucks.
Kiss is the worst.
Thank you. Like why are
nobody should like Kiss.
No, that is not a good band. It's just they're like the Monkees, right? It's a clever gimmick.
Take it easy on the Monkees.
Ugh.
Last Train to Clarksville is a great tune.
Gene Simmons might be the biggest douche in music, and that's saying something.
You're only saying that because he insulted you on live television.
And I insulted him right back. Dude, that dude is a boob. Nice hairpiece.
You guys should fight. It is also Lash Stylist Day. So for all you lash stylists out there,
ooh,
hey.
Have you ever had
how many lash stylists are listening?
A lot. I mean,
it's a big deal, Mike. Yeah. Big deal. I think we're on in all the lash salons.
Have you ever had your wife go do the lashes?
It's a big thing.
Boy, that is a process. It's expensive, but girls insist upon it.
Yeah, I've never. I mean, when we were younger, that wasn't a thing, was it?
I don't understand. No. I didn't learn about this until like 10 years into marriage. And I was like, what? What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we spending $150 on?
And I got to admit something. Like when she comes back from the lash stylist.
Yeah.
I don't notice any difference.
Yeah. You know what you do notice, though, is like after like 8 days, one gets all janky and like couple of them are falling out, and you're like, what the hell? And you're like, well, I got to go back and spend another $150.
Hey, do you remember COVID?
I do remember COVID. You know, there has been 200,000 people that are, you know, dead. And yet somehow we just collectively go, meh. It's kind of a big deal.
Well, don't include me in that. I don't go meh.
Yeah, you're man. You're man.
This has affected me greatly.
I think it's affected a lot of people.
I'm a different person now.
I just love how people are tired of dealing with it, so therefore dead people don't matter anymore.
Well, we have 382 new COVID cases in Oregon today.
That's not going the right direction.
No, it isn't. No. Two
is
new deaths.
Is this the Labor Day boom we're seeing here?
I don't know. It's going up pretty much everywhere now.
Yeah, you're seeing an uptick. Even in some foreign countries, you're seeing an uptick in this.
And while we're getting into the
flu
chillier
season.
Months.
Well, and you wonder, too, as more people stay inside. And my thing that I was talking to some people about is, what happens just when one of us gets sick, normal sick?
Well, you just write it out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can't get a test right away or you're waiting for results, every time you feel sniffly, then do you not come into work?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think you just got to be careful about it. Maybe you can go get tested. I don't know. But just stay home. Yeah, stay home when sick anyway.
This is going to be a very challenging couple of months.
But
generally, at least the three of us, like, we get a little sniffly, you still come in.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think, well, wouldn't you know?
No.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't.
From the sound of
it,
no.
You know who has the sniffles right now and chose not to come in?
Who?
Mary from HR.
Yeah.
I was supposed to meet with her about a violation of mine.
A gross violation.
Recently. And she was like, I got a cold. She goes, I'm pretty sure it's not COVID. It's just a cold. But she's like, I'm not coming in. I don't want to spread it. So. Yeah.
Although I thought Dirt had some sniffles today when I was talking to him.
Oh, wonderful. I'm sitting right here. It's great.
Well, see, that's what I mean. Like, just be cautious. Just stay home.
I just don't
know. Or get tested.
But again, a lot of people, one, can't afford to do that. Yes, it is.
No, it really isn't. But you're right. That's why I said if you can.
There are people that it is a day-to-day sort of thing, you know, where you have to show up to get paid. And, yeah, I just think that this is going to be a real scary time going into the fall here.
What else? JC Babes, what else? Let's take a look at the old in the news notes. By the way, that 382 new COVID cases is the highest count since mid-July. Proud Boys roll into town this weekend. Your boys.
All right.
Coming in.
Where do I meet them?
I don't know. Probably you can, I don't know. Somewhere on Facebook you can find out.
Where are the protests happening? You'll find them there.
So the Portland police are saying that because, you know, where the Proud Boys show up, that's Antifa's whole thing is like to disrupt that.
You got a counter protest and then someone's getting shot.
So now the Portland police are just hoping that they just stay. They're trying to keep them apart.
Thank heavens. Just
do your thing over here.
Can I just say it like just for the record? This is on the record.
Just as everything else is, we say. But,
I get it that you hate the Proud Boys and Proud Boys. I get it that you hate Antifa and the lefties. Don't shoot each other. That's just not good. Why can't you just protest? I don't understand why.
Well, in fairness, there's only been one shooting.
I don't get why you can't just.
Because they're very angry people.
Go to neutral corners.
Well, it gets heated out there.
Guys.
It's like anger
is a hell of a thing.
It's like you in the huddle in the fourth quarter when you're getting your ass kicked by Hawaii 55-2 or 4. You know. It's like that.
It's like you punching the back of quarterback in the head in that story that got released last week.
Exactly.
Not my proudest moment, although that story makes it sound like that was the catalyst for the rest of that year.
Wait, what is happening? What are you talking about?
There was a story in the Deseret News last week that Souk actually got quoted in.
Yeah.
About LaBelle Edwards last year.
Yeah, his last year we weren't doing very well. And
why don't I know about this?
The story goes, and it is a true story. It's not my proudest moment.
Mike,
but,
are you not a producer?
You know.
You got to tell me about these things. What did you do?
Whereas the end of the year, there was like two games left and we were really bad and it was Lavelle's last year and we were supposed to send him out with this big hurrah. And they put in the third string quarterback and he was like a real like go-getter. Like, hey guys, we're going to win. I beat him up in practice. I got kicked out of practice.
And you were quoted about that?
Yeah. It's not.
Like they knew about it and they called you to say, hey, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah.
What did you say?
I said I wasn't proud. I said looking back, it was not my finest moment, but supposedly that was like some sort of spark that we used for the rest of the year. And It brought us all together.
It was a spark for him, the quarterback.
Yes. The quarterback said that it was great. It like got him like his competitive juices flowing and to let him knew that, you know, we all still cared. And they made it out in the story like that was this like seminal moment of just me being angry and socking a quarterback. But I did get kicked out of practice, and that was when Lavelle looked at me, and the only time I've ever heard him curse. And he did look right at me and said, "What the F are you doing?" And I didn't have a response to it.
Was that with the fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. When you're trying to build up someone's confidence and it's his first start ever and you fight him in practice as the center.
Yeah, you didn't have an answer, did you?
No.
You're like, I don't know, coach.
I didn't. It was...
I'll show myself out now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, things happen.
Yeah.
I wasn't the best teammate from time to time.
I think the quote in the story was, "I was an angry guy." Yeah. I think that's what you said.
Well,
at least you admit it.
It was. The end of the
year. Finally, they're calling
of...
you out on your BS out there. How many Mormons read that? Big BYU Mormon football honks and just went, "Oh, that Sukanik. Hated that guy."
No, the story makes it out like I was a hero, that was a good thing. That's like the fourth or fifth most egregious fight I was in down there anyways.
Punching the third string quarterback in the head was the fourth or fifth move?
It was a Snapple bottle story sometime I'll tell you about that I probably should have been prosecuted for.
Let's write an article about that. Looks like we got five articles to write now.
Boy, I don't...
Come on, Deseret News.
That was bad.
Do an expose on your tenure at BYU.
Let's just say there were several you-need-to-go-apologize moments from the coaching staff to me.
And by the way, this texter is correct. It is Antifa that did the shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Shot the Proud Boy.
Yes.
Guy. Proud Boy. Shot the Proud Boy boy.
Look, I'm just saying both sides. Don't shoot one another. Don't assault one another.
Well, but you can't say that. Just, Proud Boys haven't shot anybody.
It's no a preemptive
one,
thing.
No one don't shoot be anyone. No one stab anyone. Just yell at each other from very, very far away.
All right, coming up next, how is it going with the kids in the schools? And globally, air travel is down what percent?
Boy, I'll bet you that's...
Globally.
I'll bet you that's a staggering number.
So we'll get to those items when we return on In the News. It is 444 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 10 minutes from now, we'll go live to the Pac-12 webinar. You will hear them announce that they are returning to play football beginning November 6th. That will be 10 minutes live right here on The Fan. Fan. The Fan. And there is one fan who is very mad at you about you talking about this assault of your quarterback while at BYU.
He wants me to be fired and prosecuted as well. He called me a human piece of garbage.
Wow.
Things are very intense on the text line
right
now.
An effing animal.
He's not wrong there.
Yikes.
He says you're a walking dead man once he calls the bosses about it.
No. They listen, they know Sook's an a-hole. They listen to his show. So,
I put him in. And the guy went to the hospital with 9 broken ribs. Football fight, my man. Some pushing and shoving. Someone got hit in the helmet. We're good.
We also have... Proud Boy Antifa fights on the text line now.
Oh boy.
I tell you, it's heated out there.
Just stop.
Angry times.
Yes.
Angry times.
This is the gnarliest of times.
Let it go.
This is
Let
the gnarliest
go.
Of times.
It is. Why is everyone so angry?
Well, wouldn't you be?
They're like 1999.
You're the one beating kids up. Why
Snapple
is everyone
bottles.
So angry? This from the guy who said he was angry. In the paper.
Hey, it led to big wins. Went 2-0 to finish that season.
What was the final record of that team?
Oh, God, I don't know. 6-6 or something. Look, we weren't good. But those two wins to set him out on top wouldn't have happened, apparently, if I hadn't
Huge.
Been a raging a-hole.
Okay, how is school going for areas where kids are in school? How do you think that's going?
That sounds awful choppy. What? How is going kids in school? It was a little.
Here is some commercial spots on the Fan Sport. Was it that bad?
It was a little choppy.
How is school going for those that are in school?
How do you think
it's going?
I don't think it's going great. No.
You don't?
No.
Amid rising frustration with the challenges of online learning, New data suggests allowing students to return to classrooms might not pose as high a risk for coronavirus transmission as previously feared.
Well, that's good.
Researchers at Brown University released the first set of data from their National COVID School Response Data Dashboard. Assessing infection levels at about 550 schools in 47 states, this through the first 2 weeks of September. What do you think they found?
Well, according to that, my guess is that it's not that we're not seeing an uptick.
They found infection rates among students and staff were often far lower than in the surrounding community, and there is not much evidence yet of the virus spreading within school buildings. Hmm. Among these schools reporting data, 0.23% and 0.49% of teachers had confirmed or suspected cases of the COVID during the two-week period, and confirmed infections were even lower. However, only about 20% of the schools had students back in classrooms at full capacity. Most had significant mitigation strategies in place, like mask requirements, social distancing, and screening for symptoms. Well, I didn't know there were some schools that had all their kids back in there. I thought they were like spacing them out and staggering them. And
I know some now. Well, I mean, it depends. It's a state to state thing. But I think down south, I think they're going full Monty. I mean, some of the photos that were coming out at the beginning of this thing, it was packed always.
All right, well, first 2 weeks of September.
Okay.
They're doing fine.
All right. Well, fingers crossed. So, look, we're not going back to school anytime soon here. I know what Oregon, we're not anywhere near the three-week threshold of the positivity rate. I think in Washington, they're evaluating it after winter break.
And finally,
where we're at.
Globally, air travel is down what percent?
I'll say 65%.
85%.
Oh.
Globally, air travel is down 85%.
You said, I thought maybe the rest of the world maybe is doing a little better than
us. Well, because I thought a lot of places kind of did a better job than we did, so maybe they were flying again.
Yeah, no, you're wrong. 85%. The four largest airlines in the United States lost a combined $10 billion only from April to June.
You know what, though?
No one cares.
Could be worse.
It could be. It could be 95.
They could have lost $20 billion.
Do you really care after all these years of them gouging you?
But actually, I do care because
they're going to gouge us more.
One of two things is going to happen.
Well, they say they're going to survive. They're not going
to
get.
One of two things is going to happen. Either we have to bend over and do another government bailout, or we have a bunch of airlines go down and then we can't fly anywhere. So, look, we all end up getting screwed anyways. The airlines are coming out on top, not us.
This is where my platform of high-speed trains comes in. I'm going to get elected.
On the whole train thing?
4-day work week, high-speed trains. And I'd also like to add a third major agenda to my platform, if I may.
Yeah.
Muffler ordinances.
No loud mufflers?
This is correct.
Interesting.
Yep.
Now,
that's my platform. Right there.
I'm intrigued by this because I need to know where you because
no reason to have a loud muffler.
But when you're in like you're in a sports car, they're louder than if you're in an. Are you talking about just aftermarket or just all car sound?
I get to decide.
Yeah, it's just you.
Yeah.
Like, hear the DEQ.
I just listen.
Raph's like, yay or nay.
Well, look, if you're out on I-5, it's different than if you're in a neighborhood, right?
Sure.
But,
you know, there's a difference between a car that's naturally loud and then the small penis truck or, like, the 88 Honda Accord.
That is so true.
You know.
And I hate all of it.
Yes. I understand. I like your platform.
Yeah, those are my three main items. All right, we got a break. That's in the news September 24th. Coming up next, we're going to go live to the Pac-12 webinar. The Pac-12 football, it is back, and you will hear their announcement next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.